Today is the 22nd day of September. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and I love that we can be here together again. I love that we get to meet up every day. I love the global campfire. I love this place with all of my heart, and I'm glad that we can be here together today to move forward another step, another day, another step forward in our lives, another step forward in this week and in this month and in this year and in the Bible. Every day, a step forward. So we've been taking our steps forward in the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, which we will continue to do until we get to the end. Then when we flip over into the New Testament, we will encounter some new territory. We finished Paul's letter to the Galatians yesterday. We will begin Paul's letter to the Ephesians today, and we'll talk about it when we get there. But first, Isaiah chapter 39, verse 1 through 41, verse 16. At that time, Merodach-Baladan, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a gift to Hezekiah, since he heard that he had been sick and had recovered. Hezekiah was pleased with the letters, and he showed the envoys his treasure house, the silver, the gold, the spices, and the precious oil, and all his armory, and everything that was found in his treasuries. There was nothing in his palace and in all his realm that Hezekiah did not show them. Then the prophet Isaiah came to King Hezekiah and asked him, "What did these men say, and where did they come to you from?" Hezekiah replied, "They came to me from a distant country, from Babylon." Isaiah asked, "What have they seen in your palace?" Hezekiah answered, "They have seen everything in my palace. There isn't anything in my treasuries that I didn't show them." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord of armies. Look, the days are coming when everything in your palace and all that your predecessors have stored up until today will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. Some of your descendants who come from you, whom you father, will be taken away, and they will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord that you have spoken is good." For he thought, "There will be peace and security during my lifetime." "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and announce to her that her time of hard service is over. Her iniquity has been pardoned, and she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one crying out, 'Prepare the way of the Lord in the wilderness. Make a straight highway for our God in the desert.' Every valley will be lifted up, and every mountain and hill will be leveled. The uneven ground will become smooth, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will appear, and all humanity together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." A voice was saying, "Cry out." Another said, "What should I cry out? All humanity is grass, and all its goodness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fade, when the breath of the Lord blows on them. Indeed, the people are grass. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God remains forever. Zion, herald of good news, go up on a high mountain. Jerusalem, herald of good news, raise your voice loudly. Raise it. Do not be afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, 'Here is your God.' See, the Lord God comes with strength, and his power establishes his rule. His wages are with him, and his reward accompanies him. He protects his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them in the fold of his garment. He gently leads those that are nursing. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or marked off the heavens with the span of his hand? who has gathered the dust of the earth in a measure, or weighed the mountains on a balance and the hills on the scales? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or who gave him counsel? Who did he consult? Who gave him understanding and taught him the paths of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Look, the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are considered as a speck of dust on the scales. He lifts up the islands like fine dust. Lebanon's cedars are not enough for fuel, or its animals enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are considered by him as empty nothingness. With whom will you compare God? What likeness will you set up for comparison with him? An idol? Something that a smelter casts and a metal worker plates with gold and makes silver chains for? A poor person contributes wood for a pedestal that will not rot. He looks for a skilled craftsman to set up an idol that will not fall over. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not considered the foundations of the earth? God is enthroned above the circle of the earth. Its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like thin cloth and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He reduces princes to nothing and makes judges of the earth like a wasteland. They are barely planted, barely sown. Their stem hardly takes root in the ground when he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind carries them away like stubble. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Asks the Holy One. Look up and see. Who created these? He brings out the stars by number. He calls all of them by name. Because of his great power and strength, not one of them is missing. Jacob, why do you say, and Israel, why do you assert, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my claim is ignored by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never becomes faint or weary. There is no limit to his understanding. He gives strength to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Youths may become faint and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not faint. Be silent before me, coasts and islands, and let people renew their strength. Let them approach. Let them testify. Let's come together for the trial. Who has stirred up someone from the east? In righteousness, he calls him to serve. The Lord hands nations over to him, and he subdues kings. He makes them like dust with his sword, like wind-driven stubble with his bow. He pursues them, going on safely, hardly touching the path with his feet. Who has performed and done this, calling the generations from the beginning? I am the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am He. The coasts and islands see and are afraid. The whole earth trembles. They approach and arrive. Each one helps the other and says to another, take courage. The craftsman encourages the metal worker. The one who flattens with the hammer encourages the one who strikes the anvil, saying of the soldering, it is good. He fastens it with nails so that it will not fall over. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, descendant of Abraham, my friend, I brought you from the ends of the earth and called you from its farthest corners. I said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you. I haven't rejected you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. Be sure that all who are enraged against you will be ashamed and disgraced. Those who contend with you will become as nothing and will perish. You will look for those who contend with you, but you will not find them. Those who war against you will become absolutely nothing. For I am the Lord your God who holds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not fear, you worm, Jacob, you men of Israel, I will help you. This is the Lord's declaration. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. See, I will make you into a sharp threshing board, new with many teeth. You will thresh mountains and pulverize them and make hills into chaff. You will winnow them and a wind will carry them away. A whirlwind will scatter them. But you will rejoice in the Lord. You will boast in the Holy One of Israel. Okay, so yesterday we concluded Paul's letter to the Galatians, and that brings us now to the beginning of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And Ephesians is a bit different than Paul's other letters, including Galatians. And that leads to speculation among biblical scholars. So some propose that this letter is certainly in alignment with Paul's views, but wasn't written by Paul. It's an unknown author. Other scholars would say, like, the circumstances surrounding the early church and the way letters were passed around among the churches, that has more to do with the nuances in the letter than the writer. And these are some of the kinds of discussions you get in biblical scholarship, especially when you're trying to, like, pinpoint something, like locate something in history. We know Paul spent about 3 years in Ephesus, and this is a community he established. And at the time, this is a port city in the Roman Empire. And so it's got lots of people coming in and going out every day. So it's a cosmopolitan kind of city on the ocean. And so it's a melting pot of ideas and philosophy and ritual and behavior. But Paul's not writing this letter to, like, correct or combat false teaching or incorrect behaviors. He spent a lot of time among these people. And it makes the letter very, very compelling, because in Ephesians, we get these glimpses of the repercussions or the implications of the gospel. What's happening? What's being transformed? What this means? And it's mind-blowing stuff. But what makes it even more compelling is Paul, his environment. We learned when we read through the book of Acts that Paul had been arrested in Jerusalem and then was incarcerated and for the most of the rest of his life was a prisoner, eventually being imprisoned for the final time before his execution in Rome. And it was here that Paul likely wrote Ephesians. Somewhere maybe around 60 AD. And so when we know that Paul is in captivity and really will be tried, like it's a life and death trial, that he could have this kind of view is really compelling. I mean, Paul being in prison would have cast doubt on the message Paul was speaking and its validity. It would have made it really hard for people to consider the message of faith in Jesus, because they didn't want to end up in prison either. But Paul's not discouraged. Like, he's writing from prison, but not as if his spirit, his heart, is imprisoned. And he writes about a spiritual reality that can't be changed by something like imprisonment, that can't be touched by any trial in life. And there are things in here that we should hear and go, wait, what? Like, there are things to ponder for a long, long time. So Paul's in prison and he's writing from his heart, appealing to his readers to see that it's way bigger than we think. And there's nothing in this life that can take it from us. So may we enjoy Ephesians today, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, to the faithful saints in Christ Jesus at Ephesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in love before him. He predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ for himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he lavished on us in the Beloved One. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he richly poured out on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he purposed in Christ as a plan for the right time, to bring everything together in Christ, both things in heaven and things on earth, in him. In him, we have also received an inheritance, because we were predestined according to the plan of the one who works out everything in agreement with the purpose of his will, so that we, who had already put our hope in Christ, might bring praise to his glory. In him, you also were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed. The Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. This is why, since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I never stop giving thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the wealth of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the mighty working of his strength. He exercised this power in Christ by raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority, power and dominion, and every title given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he subjected everything under his feet and appointed him as head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. Psalm 66. Praise for God's mighty acts. For the choir director, a song, a psalm. Let the whole earth shout joyfully to God. Sing about the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awe-inspiring are your works. Your enemies will cringe before you because of your great strength. The whole earth will worship you and sing praise to you. They will sing praise to your name. Selah. Come and see the wonders of God. His acts for humanity are awe-inspiring. He turned the sea into dry land and they crossed the river on foot. There we rejoiced in him. He rules forever by his might. He keeps his eye on the nations. The rebellious should not exalt themselves. Selah. Bless our God, you peoples. Let the sounds of his praise be heard. He keeps us alive and does not allow our feet to slip. For you, God, tested us. You refined us as silver is refined. You lured us into a trap. You placed burdens on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us out to abundance. I will enter your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows that my lips promised and my mouth spoke during my distress. I will offer you fattened sheep as burnt offerings with the fragrant smoke of rams. I will sacrifice bulls with goats. Selah. Come and listen, all who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth, and praise was on my tongue. If I had been aware of malice in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. However, God has listened. He has paid attention to the sound of my prayer. Blessed be God. He has not turned away my prayer or turned his faithful love from me. Proverbs 23, 25 through 28. Let your father and mother have joy, and let her who gave birth to you rejoice. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways. For a prostitute is a deep pit, and a wayward woman is a narrow well. Indeed, she sets an ambush like a robber and increases the number of unfaithful people. Father, we thank you for your word. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for bringing us into this new territory in Ephesians. And we ask, Holy Spirit, as we encounter this journey through another letter, that you will open our eyes, open our ears, give us eyes to see and ears to hear what Paul is talking about, these vistas, these grand understandings of what is going on and what that means, and what that means to us and our lives. Open our eyes to see, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.
JD, I heard your prayer request on September 18th. And I've been one of those many others that you referred to looking for work. I was prompted to call in and pray for you, and I'll do that now. Lord, I lift up JD and all the men and women struggling to find work right now, Father God, that would, as JD said, simply pay the bills. Lord, I also pray for JD to have a closer relationship with you. I pray, Father God, that he would lay his cares at your feet and breathe, Lord. Father God, I pray that you lead JD to the job you want him to take, Father. Help him, Lord, to trust you to make the salary work for his situation, for your glory, Lord. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, guys, please don't air this. I just wanted to send this to Brian and Jill. It is part. I just got an email from Jerry in Duluth and telling me what his daughter's going through and how I've been a positive in his life, and he's always looking for it. I'm going to tell you, fam, Brian and Jill, I am nothing positive to look at in my mind. I mean, I'm struggling just like everybody else does, but I want to thank you guys so much from the bottom of my heart for introducing me to a family. And KSD and I talk a lot, And when I heard what he's been through and the positive swing of life and his faith, he shouldn't be looking towards me for guidance at all. But he said, thank you. I want to tell you thank you. To a place where you can just openly pray for people and not be out there for the world. I walked into my bathroom and I just hit my knees. God is, he's so capable. He's so capable. And I just want to say thank you.
Hey, DAB family. This is your sister Ashley from California. And today is Monday, September 18th. And I just want to rejoice. My birthday's coming up on Thursday. And the scripture, the commentary that Brian had off of Galatians today really touched my heart. And then I wanted to come on and encourage everybody. So Brian was talking about how Paul was talking about having faith, and that's what sets us apart, and that's what makes us the seed of Abraham. But I also wanted to remind everybody that faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of God, and that the Lord has spurred us on to hear his word, either through this app, through church, through whatever means it may be. God has called us, and he is using this to speak to us, for us to get to know him. And what a blessing that is. So I encourage you, family, to continue on making Jesus your top priority, because he is the reason for our faith, and he is our, he's our savior, he's our everything. And I am just so blessed that we have this community, because sometimes you don't have the time to sit down and read like so many of us want to, but what a blessing that is to be a part of this community. So Brian, Jill, the rest of the Harden family, thank you. And I love you, DAB family. And I will talk to you soon. Bye.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible Prayer Warriors. This is Elizabeth from Delaware calling in. And first, I want to thank you all again for your many thousands of prayers that you prayed for my husband and the healing of his knee. He had 3 surgeries. It took about 6 months to get it to where we are now, but the Lord is faithful, and he is doing great work in his PT and his healing. He's putting on some weight again and sleeping well. So we thank you all for your prayers. As it says in Ruth 2:12, may the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, for all the prayers you prayed for Dan and I. God did put us under his wings and protected us. And it was with your love and your prayers that did it. So thank you, and we praise God with you. Also, on a quick note, I heard from Samson Ellis. He wanted to give a shout out to Slave of Jesus, who lifted up the download property in the prison so that they could get the DAB. It was down, and he prayed, and it, they were able to get the DAB. So thank you, Slave of Jesus, for calling that out. And Kingdom Singer Daniel, you were just recently lifting up prayers for Samson, who lost his sister-in-law 1.5 years ago, as you catch up. I wanted to give you a quick update on Samson. He is doing great. He did need to get 5 weeks of radiation on his jaw to get the last piece of cancer out, so praise God for that. Continue to keep him in your prayers, as he is hoping and praying that they will allow him to return to the Verner unit in Grady, Arkansas, this coming December, so that he might be able to finish his college degree. So, Lord, we know you have great things in store for Samson. We thank you for the miracles you worked in his life and in our lives. I ask you to pray. I want to praise you, Lord, and thank you for your love and your kindness. And I want everybody to know we are still praying and listening when we can. God bless you.